Dr. Michael Youssef, offering perspective on 2020.
Whatever next year may bring, it makes no difference for the child of God. Whether it brings certainty or perplexity, whether it brings joy or sorrow, whether it will bring prosperity or adversity, whether it will bring persecution or encouragement, it makes no difference to us. Why? Because He promised, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
Welcome to Leading the Way with Pastor and International Bible Teacher, Dr. Michael Youssef. Think back to the happenings of 2019. That divide between culture and faith widen like we haven't seen before. And in your own home, you've had ups, you've had downs, maybe some relationship divides that hurt pretty deeply. But today, a great reminder from the pages of God's Word and the words of God's mouth, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never. Wow. As these days begin to click by in 2020, Dr. Youssef's message will encourage you with God's perspective and reminders of God's presence, no matter what you face. Listen with me as Dr. Michael Youssef begins today's Leading the Way.
As one year ends and another year begins, the interesting thing to me about this whole new year thing is how the unbelieving world will talk about drowning the past year in a pool of Jack Daniels. Ringing in the new year in another pool of Jack Daniels. Welcoming the new year in another pool of Jack Daniels. But in reality, so many of these folks, these dear people, bless their hearts, they're not going to remember drowning and they're not going to remember ringing in. The only thing they're going to be ringing in their heads in the morning is the hangover in their ears. But for hundreds of years, people have been trying to drown the old and bring in the new. And each year, sadly, for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, it brings only more emptiness. It brings to them more spiritual vacuum that creates discontentment in life. Even the ancient Rome tried to celebrate the new year. And that is why the month of January comes named after the Roman god Janus. And Janus, as many of you probably know, the Roman god with two faces. One face that is looking back to the year that passed, that is filled with sorrow, it's filled with dismay, it's filled with perplexity. But then the second face that is looking forward to the new year, it's a forward-looking face. It's projecting hope, it's projecting confidence and optimism. And for many years, the Italians had a fascinating way of celebrating the new year. It was not only fascinating, but it was very expensive. Because what happened in many an Italian city, they stopped it now for the last few years now, but in their desire to get rid of the old and ring in the new, right about midnight in the new year, the streets would empty of all cars and people, not because they're too drunk to drive, but because at the stroke of midnight, the doors of the balconies and the windows began to open, and people would toss out anything and everything they did not like in their house. And I mean, crockeries, ornaments, and even furniture, they will toss them out. Anything in their possessions that reminded them of the old year, they tossed it out. They tried to wipe it out of their mind and out of their memory by tossing it out on the street. It's too expensive. Not only expensive for the people, but it's expensive for the government to clean up. That's why they stopped it. I am thankful that I don't have to do any of these crazy things each year. And do you know why? Because our God is a God of yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Because our God is a God who overrules and forgives our sins. Because our God controls the present in His hand. Because our God assures us of the future. Because our God is a God who is to be praised and thanked every single day of our lives. Because our God is a God to whom we are thankful for the past And with all of its ups and downs, it's a God to whom we are thankful for the present because He fills it with joy and He fills it with contentment. We are thankful for the future, whatever it might hold, because it's in His hand. Amen. You know, one of the great promises that always lifts me up from the Scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. The writer said, He Himself said, referring to the Lord, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." This is a promise for next year. This is a promise for all of eternity. The writer goes on to say then, so, because of the promise, therefore, we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And the answer is, nothing. Nobody can touch me without the permission of God, because I belong to Him. You belong to Him. Now let's look at those verses together again. Verses 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Whatever next year may bring, it makes no difference for the child of God. Whether it brings certainty or perplexity, whether it brings joy or sorrow, whether it will bring prosperity or adversity, whether it will bring persecution or encouragement, whether it will bring acceptance or rejection, whether it will bring hardship or smooth sailing, it makes no difference to us. Why? Because He promised, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And that is why I've got nothing to drown and I've got nothing to ring in. Hear me right on this one. All of my sins have already been drowned under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. And all of my future is already ringing in His hand. For I am already right now seated in the heavenlies. Do you know that the Bible teaches that you are seated in the heavenlies if you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, "Michael, you're standing here in the sanctuary of the Church of the Apostles. I may appear to you that I'm standing here, but in reality, I'm seated in heaven. I'm already with the redeemed." God sees me there in the stadium with all of the redeemed. He sees you there in the stadium with those who wash their robes with the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees you in the heaven. You are seated in the heavenly places. So what can man do to me? And the answer is nothing. I want to give you three things that ought to be the marks of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, it's contentment. Secondly, it's companionship. And thirdly, it's courage. It's contentment, it's companionship, and it's courage. And they all come out of the text, those two verses in Hebrew. Because He promised, what did He promise? "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Therefore, I'm contented because of the promise. Look at verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be contented with what you have. Because God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." You know, one of the most powerful spirits that is dominating our culture today is the spirit of discontentment. It is found among the super rich. It is found among the middle class. It is found among the poor. It's found everywhere. But have you ever asked yourself, where does the spirit of discontentment come from? What causes the spirit of discontentment? And the answer is covetousness. The answer is greed. The answer is envy. The answer is wanting what others have, even if we don't need it, but we want it anyway. If your life focus, if priority number one in your life is money and more money and money, you will be discontented. I promise you, you will be discontented, because there will always be somebody else who's richer than you. If your focus in life is your good looks, you will be discontented. I promise you, because there will always be somebody who's better looking than you are. If your focus in life, if your number one priority in life is your profession, you will be discontented and you will be frustrated. And I'll tell you why. Because there will always be somebody smarter than you are. There will always be somebody who's more successful than you are. In fact, the spirit of discontentment is like canker. It's eating at the soul of our nation. It's eating at our souls. I like the man who said that the one who has 6 kids is far more contented than the one who has $6 million. Because the one who has $6 million wants one more. It's always the next million. It's always the next money. It's always the next thing. And no wonder the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, he said, Timothy, godliness with contentment is a great gain. If we have food and clothing, we should be contented. And that is why when you focus on Jesus, when you focus on the kingdom of God, when your focus is on the work of God, when your commitment is to Him, you will be contented. Why? Because He said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that is why Paul goes on to say to Timothy, he said, Timothy, discontentment comes out of greed, will drown people in destruction. Paul goes to Philippians and he says, I have learned to be contented. I have discovered the secret of rejoicing with little, and I have discovered the secret of rejoicing with much. You know, there's an ancient Chinese proverb that goes something like this. It says, if you want to be contented for 1 hour, get intoxicated. That's the idea of the happy hour, I guess. That's where most of the word came from. He said, if you want to be contented for 3 days, get married. If you want to be contented for 8 days, kill your pig and eat it. But if you want to be contented forever, learn to fish. I got a Christian application for the believers in the new year. If you truly want to be contented, if you truly want to be satisfied in life, become a fisher of men. Become a witness for Christ. Become a soul winner. Become an ambassador of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, most of you know this is my anchor verse. When He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He was really giving us the secret for contentment. He really was. Listen to me very carefully. If you are looking for true contentment, stop going after trinkets and possessions. Start showing up at prayer meetings. Start praying for others. Start interceding for others. Start sharing your faith. Start witnessing. And watch out and see how God is going to bless you, answer prayers that have not been answered in years. I promise you, according to the Word of God. Because you will become confident in the promise that says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You see, it's not only contentment, but also companionship. You know, there are so many lonely people in our culture. I run into them all the time. There's so many lonely, and it's sad, it really is. Simply because many of them do not know the friend that sticks to them closer than a brother. But please understand this. Experiencing the companionship of Jesus moment by moment, day by day, is a consequence of appropriating His promise that says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, there are some people in our culture who pray to angels. There are others who pray to saints. There are some who actually pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary. But Jesus did not promise to send us an angel. He did not promise to send us St. Christopher or any of the saints. He didn't even promise to send us His Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary. He said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It's so personal. The boss of all the angels, the creator of all the angels, the commander in chief of all the angels, the Lord of all the saints, the Redeemer of the Blessed Virgin, He Himself said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon one of God's people and uses them and then goes back to heaven. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson and used him. The Holy Spirit came upon Isaiah and used him, and then he went back to heaven. And that is why David prays in the psalm saying, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." That's why he prayed that prayer. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit permanently came to earth to dwell in all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. It was for the first time in human history until that moment that the Holy Spirit came to indwell the believers. And whenever a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in him or her. The very Holy Spirit that is the breath of God. In fact, the word spirit and breath and wind are all one word in Hebrew. And the very breath of God dwells in us. For he is the Spirit of the living God. He is the executor of the will of God. He is the full representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Don't ever refer to him as it. He has been given the authority to indwell us when we come to Christ. And that is why the Bible can promise what? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. We, even when we grieve the Holy Spirit and he'll be in a corner grieved, when we quench him, he still doesn't leave us. We break his heart, but he never leaves us. You know, and I know how faithfulness and friendship is a rare thing in our day. I mean, friendship is just so shallow and it's rare. People form temporary and convenient friendships and even marriages these days. What breaks a pastor's heart is to see how marriages have become temporary and for convenience. And you see it on television and the movies, and people talk about marriage. Well, you just give it a shot, and if it doesn't work out, you just walk out. In fact, I read about this guy the other day. He looked at his wife from his hospital bed, and he said, "You know, you've always been there. You've always stood by me in all of my troubles. When I lost my shirt in that bad investment, you were there. You know, when I got in this dangerous car accident and nearly died, you were there. And when I got fired from my job, you were there. I have come to the conclusion that you're a bad luck." We are so screwed up, aren't we? That's how many people are thinking in terms of relationships, but not the God of the Bible. When he said, "I'll never leave you, never forsake you," you can take that word and literally die for it, because you know that he means it. There are so many people going around presenting Christ, a God that you kind of put in your pocket and take him along as your friend. It's like a good luck charm, you know, that you just take Jesus along as your friend and keep him in your pocket. And if you ever get into trouble, you just get him up and say, "Hey, God, here, rub the genie. I need you. I'm desperate for you. Help me, please." And then when you're done with him, you put him back in your pocket. That is the shallowness in which we are getting to. That's not the God of the Bible. Believers, faithful believers, know that the God of the Bible promised, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That promise not only leads us to contentment, not only assures us of his companionship every moment of every day, but thirdly, that promise gives us courage. Look at verse 6. "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" You know, as we face a new year, I listen a little bit to all the talking heads. They're playing on people's fear, because there are so many people in our culture who are really looking into the new year with fear and trepidation. They really are. They're looking into the new year with dread. Many people are going around saying, "Oh, what will the future hold for me? What will the future hold for my children? What will the economy do? What will my next checkup from the doctor is going to say?" One of the things that I've learned through the years is that most people are not so much afraid of the unknown as they are fearful of the responsibilities of life, which is the known. But when you truly claim the promise that says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, you will not be afraid either of the unknown or the known. You will face both with courage. You will face both with confidence. You will face both with excitement. You will face both with anticipation. You will face both with expectations, and you can't wait to see what God is going to do. I love it when that first grader was asked what he wants to do when he grows up, and that little fella said, I want to be trainer of wild animals. I'll handle lots of fierce lions and tigers, and I'm going to walk into their cage. And then all of a sudden he stopped, and he said, I'm going to have my mommy with me, of course. But listen, you can say that. You can say that I'm going to go into the enemy's territory. I'm going to rescue the perishing. I'm going to reach to the lost. I know that Satan is like a roaring lion, looking around trying to devour me. But by Jesus' power and in Jesus' name, I will have victory over him every time. Because Jesus is with me. He's going to be with me, of course. Because he's with me. And he promised what? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Dr. Michael Youssef on today's edition of Leading the Way. Oh, by the way, if you have questions about faith, maybe you'd like to be assured that Jesus will never leave you, then you can talk with one of our compassionate team members. Just begin that conversation by visiting ltw.org/Jesus.
The first time I came across Leading the Way was on a radio station in Adelaide, Australian out. First time I heard Brother Michael speaking, actually, and it was almost like what I was hearing him speak about was exactly what I needed to hear right then. And as I was just going through the webpage, I noticed that's when I came across the Navigators. I thought, wow, what a great little gadget that is. Where my parents lived and the family home is still in the family in Adelaide in Theberton, just around the corner near a park was a halfway home for Aboriginals. I thought that was a great opportunity to start getting the Navigators into that halfway home. So that sort of spurred me on to think that what may be happening there could be done on a wider field. My ministry started basically by chance in Port Augusta, where I met a fellow Christian Aboriginal brother who he's used a large number of Navigators in getting them out into the Aboriginal community at Port Augusta. They are also sent up to Hermannsburg in the Northern Territory, where there's brethren up there who meet with Aborigines. They have a rotation basis with the Navigators up there. So what they do is they mark them all individually and then give them out to families, and then those families use them. It's a bit like a library. And when they've had their turn with them, they've had enough, and they come back to the pastor, and then they get moved out to another family. So there's this continual rotation of the Navigators, and that's working really well. No matter how far or distant out into the Australian outback they are, 24/7 those Navigators will be operating, but there's a lot of Aboriginal men and women and children even who either have poor reading skills or no reading skills. How are they going to have that ongoing feeding program? How does that happen? How do I hear the Word of God every day? Well, with the Navigator, it's possible. There is a sense of real joy when you know that people at this very minute have something which can offer them eternal life, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now they have it.
Won't you stand with Dr. Youssef in Leading the Way today? Join others in generous giving, no matter the amount, because generosity comes from the heart, not from the wallet. You will be expanding the reach of God's Word. Learn how. Go to ltw.org. Once again, that's ltw.org. Or call us. We would love to have you speak to one of our ministry representatives. We are at 866-626-4356. That's 866-626-4356. This program is provided by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Connect with us through our YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, and all of our social media networks.